January 10, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. The Opened Sight. To open their eyes that they may receive. Acts 26:18. This verse is the grandest condensation of the propaganda of a disciple of Jesus Christ in the whole of the New Testament. The first sovereign work of grace is summed up in the words, that they may receive remission of sins. When a man fails in personal Christian experience, it is nearly always because he has never received anything. The only sign that a man is saved is that he has received something from Jesus Christ. Our part as workers for God is to open men's eyes that they may turn themselves from darkness to light. But that is not salvation. That is conversion. The effect of a roused human being. I'm sorry, the effort of a roused human being. I do not think it is too sweeping to say that the majority of nominal Christians are of this order. Their eyes are opened, but they have received nothing. Conversion is not regeneration. This is one of the neglected factors in our preaching today. When a man is born again, he knows that it is because he has received something as a gift from Almighty God and not because of his own decision. People register their vows and sign their pledges and determine to go through, but none of this is salvation. Salvation means that we are brought to the place where we are able to receive something from God on the authority of Jesus Christ, vis-a-vis remission of sins. Then there follows the second mighty work of grace, and inheritance among them which are sanctified. In sanctification, the regenerated soul deliberately gives up his right to himself, to Jesus Christ, and identifies himself entirely with God's interest in other men. That's the end of Oswald's text. We are often told in preaching the way of salvation, the facts of the cross, the facts of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, the facts of our sinfulness, and the facts of our need for a Savior, and even given a sample prayer that we can pray to receive Jesus, as it were, a formula. All of this can be done in an intellectual way, can be done in the mind, without ever producing sanctification or even salvation. Salvation comes only from a marital commitment, a commitment of the entire being, a capitulation, as it were, of one's will to the will of another. Just as in marriage, when two people are betrothed, they are betrothed to each other, to put each other's needs and desires ahead of their own. And marriages which continue to do that thrive and flourish. Marriages which lapse into selfish pursuit and demanding from the other things that we want for ourselves bring down the marriage, destroy the relationship, and often bring separation and divorce. You've probably experienced separation and divorce in numerous relationships, from friends or family or even a spouse. The bottom line for us within the salvation experience is that salvation only occurs at the point in time when I'm willing to do as the rich young ruler before Jesus was not willing to do, and that is to sell all I have and follow Jesus. Essentially, what Jesus was asking, or in this case, requiring, is that this man, or any man who would be a disciple of Jesus, must forsake all of his own agenda, all of his own possessions, and all of his own dreams and aspirations, and take up those dreams and aspirations for himself that come from the God above. A surrender of my entire being. Father, I will do what you want me to do. I will put my plans down and follow your plans only, is the point in time where salvation truly occurs and we experience the new birth. The new birth then gives us a whole new agenda, that which is from above, not that which is from our own common sense or our own training or our own human desire. God wants vessels that will act out and express himself throughout the world. He wants you to be fully his. He wants you to receive his salvation by capitulating and surrendering and giving him your all.